You know, it's no secret that our lives are filled with decisions. What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat for lunch? What are we going to say? What are we going to do? What are we going to buy? Who should we marry? What career should we choose? Even what church to attend. It's filled with decisions. And some of the decisions, obviously, are less significant than others. Probably isn't going to change your life if you choose vanilla or chocolate ice cream for dessert, but you should choose Moose Tracks. But it's not going to be life-changing. We know it's not life. There are many decisions that are not life-changing, and yet choosing a mate will certainly change your life. Choosing a career is going to be a life-changing decision. Some choices are certainly more important than others. Some choices will change your life. I remember as a senior in college being faced with two really good choices and asking a trusted advisor, I was convinced at this point that I wanted to be a youth director for life. I remember asking a trusted advisor, what should I do? And he said, be a youth director for a couple years, then go to seminary. Figure it out if this is what you want to do, and then go. Another trusted advisor said, no, go to seminary. Get it out of the way. Get all your education that you do. Have more years of ministry. Two good choices. How do I decide? And another professor that I admired greatly, he told me, Jim, just make a decision. You know that either choice is good, that God will bless you either way. Just make a decision and go. And he'll close the door if it's the wrong decision. I'll never forget, that led to a sleepless night in the spring of 1989 as I walked through my neighborhood examining my heart, as I sat on a boulder and poured out my heart to God. Am I merely infatuated with this beautiful girl, or do I truly love her? The next time we were together, I told her, for the first time that I had ever told any girl, that I loved her. And it wasn't long before I asked her to be my wife. I struggled through that night because I knew I was facing a life-changing decision, a decision that would alter the course of my life. Every day, people make such decisions. But decisions that not only change their earthly life, but ultimately lead to their eternal destiny. In our passage, we're confronted with the questions of eternal life. If heaven and hell exist, what are we to do about it? How do I get off this road to hell and onto the road to heaven? Well, Jesus clearly taught that there is only one way to heaven. And so in our passage, we can see clearly that we are faced with two choices. There's a right choice and a wrong choice. In this passage, he speaks of two gates, two roads, two groups of people, and two destinies. There's good news and there's bad news. Which do you want to hear first? Many people try to cover up the bad news by making up fake good news. I still remember the day, and it seemed like yesterday, but decades ago, that my sister came into the kitchen where my mom and dad and I were standing, and she told my dad, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is that the truck I hit is fine. Made up good news to cover up the bad news. I'll never forget the impact of fake good news. It didn't bring comfort to my dad at all. Now, the truth be told, neither car were badly damaged. It was a simple little fender, little bump in a parking lot. But let's consider the gates that Jesus described that will lead us onto two possible roads with two very different destinations and two different groups of people. First, many people use the wide gate onto the easy road to destruction and hell. Many people use the wide gate onto the easy road. Verse 13, Jesus says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Many people are on their way to destruction. I think it's important to understand that the word destruction does not mean annihilation. When I was a young boy, I used to enjoy building model cars. My brother and I used to do this. And we would sometimes buy the cheapest car possible that nobody else wanted because we had a specific purpose for it. We would build this car, and then we would cram it packed full of fireworks. And we would absolutely annihilate that car. That's not what this means. That's not what Jesus was teaching when he says that the road leads to destruction. He does not mean that God causes one to be obliterated and stop existing. Rather, this word refers to the destiny of hell for those who are on this road. Well, let's look a little more closely at this bad news. Let's look at the characteristics of this road so that we can know if we're on it and how to get off it. One characteristic, Jesus says, is that it's an easy road. It certainly fits our contemporary generation, doesn't it? We like things that are easy. That word oftentimes is also translated as the broad way. And we use the word broad this way in the sense when we say that a person is broad-minded. In our culture, to be broad-minded means to be open and affirming and tolerant and loving, accepting, whereas to be narrow-minded in our culture is to be judgmental and harsh. And so in our culture's opinion, you're either open-minded or you're ignorant. However, the Bible describes this as the way of the unspiritual mind, the mind that is dead. This is the wisdom of man, not the wisdom of God. In fact, we only hold this ideology when it suits us, when we benefit from it. After all, how broad-minded would you be with the intruder that steals your TV out of your home? Not very. How broad-minded would you be if your wife wanted to be unfaithful? Just a little bit. Oh, we're only broad-minded if it fits us, if it benefits us, according to our culture's way of thinking. Whenever we want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for ourselves. It's an easy road that has room enough for everyone. Because so many people find this lifestyle as acceptable, it makes it easy to stay on the road. Another characteristic of this road is that it is found by many. In other words, this road is a crowded road. And herein lies one of the dangers. The road of the majority has the appearance of being the right way. If more people are doing it, it must be right, right? Not necessarily. How could so many people be wrong? I mean, we take comfort in numbers. And in so doing, however, in this case, we deceive ourselves. God has always been the God of the minority. Noah preached for 100 years, but only 8 people entered the ark and were saved from destruction. Over 600,000 men and the women and the children, in addition, passed through the Red Sea, but only 2 from that generation made it into the Promised Land. We should not be deceived by the decisions of the majority. The easy road may be crowded, but it does not make it right and true. And finally, we see that this road is a road to destruction. It's a fatal way. It's the way of eternal death. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. What you deserve because of your sin is death and destruction. When we stay on the easy road, we're on a path that will lead to our ultimate eternal damnation. And while we may think that this way will lead us to heaven, in fact, it will eventually lead us to destruction. So if we stay on this road, we will be destroyed. Jesus is deadly serious at this point of his sermon when he speaks about hell. And I know it's not a popular doctrine today to address, but Jesus spoke about hell more often than he spoke about heaven. He sincerely warns us to make the wise choice, to go through the narrow gate, that we might avoid the destruction that awaits those who walk on that road. Hell is no joke. It's not imaginary. We must not think lightly of it. But there is another road. There is hope. Secondly, a few people use the narrow gate onto the hard road to life in heaven. There are few who go through the narrow gate onto the hard road. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life." And those who find it are few. Last week, I told you about two types of commands in the Greek in the New Testament. We saw last week the present imperatives. Those commands that they're not just a one-time act. They're ask, seek, and knock. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Well, today we have the other type of imperative, the aorist imperative. Enter. It's not enter so that someday maybe you have to enter again. It's enter. Here's the gate. Come in. It takes decisive and specific action. The command is not simply to ponder it, admire it. Many people admire the principles that Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. No, the command is not simply admire this way of life that Jesus has taught. Enter into it. Come in. Don't wait. This command is not simply to enter some gate, but enter the narrow gate. Every person entered through the wide gate when they came into this world. Jesus pleads for us to enter the narrow gate, the only gate that leads to life and heaven. That's why he says this gate is narrow and the road is hard. And he says, few people will find it, but the gate leads to life. By which he clearly means eternal life, right? And so he's saying that that the road he describes is the road to heaven. And so we also should take a moment to consider the way he describes it. Again, he says that it is narrow. But we can thank God that it's not shut. It may be narrow, it may be difficult, but it's open. See, the gate leads to a road. And when we find the gate, we may enter the way. Of course, Christ opened up this door. He opened up this gate by his death on the cross. The payment for our sin opened the gate of salvation for us. And so we can see that there is a gate, even though it is narrow, it is open for us. Enter. And another characteristic, he said, it leads to a hard road, a difficult way. The way is hard, he says, that leads to life, because there's only one way. And you remember the familiar words in John 14. If you were at Don Latham's funeral this week, you heard a sermon on this passage. In John 14, Jesus taught his disciples. He concluded that by saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Elsewhere, Jesus taught, "I am the gate." He is the way into the Father's presence in heaven. This is the same truth that we hear the Apostle Peter proclaim in his first sermon in Acts, when he said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The gate is narrow. And the way is hard because it focuses on the truth. And truth is narrow. Either a thing is true or it's not true, right? It is narrow. Our opinion doesn't determine the truth. The truth is true. If we don't believe in the law of gravity, it doesn't change the fact that we will fall down if we jump off a building. It is true whether we believe it or not. It makes no difference if we like the truth of God. It's still the truth. Another characteristic of the gate is that it leads to the hard road that is also demands repentance. In Jesus' day, many Jews believed that simply by being a Jew, they would enter heaven. Some people today believe much the same thing. As long as we go to church, we're good to go to heaven. I lived most of my life, or my young life, that way, thinking I was a pastor's son. I'm going to heaven. It wasn't until really late in high school that I really became convinced of what it requires to go to heaven. I remember a teacher saying something my dad used to say that many other people have said: just because you walk into a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because you go to church, it doesn't make you a Christian. But that was my hope. I'm a preacher's kid. We go to church every Sunday. If anybody gets a free pass to heaven, it's us as PKs. Finally coming to realize that my dad's faith doesn't guarantee my faith. I have to acknowledge my own sin. Christ has opened the way. He is the way. It's a hard and narrow road, but it's open to us. But it demands repentance. And that's what I was missing most of my youth. Was I just wanted the easy way out. Some of you know my dad and you know the way that he preached. And if you were here back in his, so to speak, glory days, it's never his glory, but you know what I mean. And every Sunday, he would present the gospel at the end and invite people to come forward. And in that, especially at First Pres, every Sunday we would close the service singing the same chorus of the same hymn, "There's Room at the Cross for You." And he would pray for the people that would gather at the front. His passion has always been for the gospel, that people would believe and be saved. And I remember Sunday after Sunday thinking, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. What I really needed was to repent. I was convicted every week because of my sin, but I did not have the heart to turn away from my sin. I was raised in a home that taught the truth, taught what was good and what was bad, and I knew what I was doing was bad, but I wasn't willing to turn away from it. I just felt bad about doing the bad. To enter into the narrow road that leads to life demands repentance, demands that we turn away from our sin and we turn to Christ for His grace to live like He lives. Final characteristic of the gate that leads to a hard road is that the way is the way of the few. Jesus said that those who find it are few. Perhaps there are few who find this gate because there are few who seek this gate. It's tempting to think that way, but in reality it's few because we are dead in sin and we love our sin. And we don't want His way. Until He changes our hearts, makes us alive, that we would desire His ways. The reason why there are few who enter by this gate is that there are just so few who are willing to acknowledge that Jesus is the only way to heaven and they want to remain on the easy road. And this is why Jesus exhorts us, enter, enter here, enter by the narrow gate. Last night, I just about missed the exit as we were hurrying to our daughter's house. I was driving 70 miles an hour on 435, maybe a little faster. I was with the flow of traffic, not being anything too reckless, but and I didn't see the sign in time. Almost. I hit the brake and swerved. And lo and behold, it was one of those exits where only they put it up there 25 miles an hour. I mean, I hit the brakes and I swerved. The tire squeaked a little. And I almost missed the sign. And there are many other exits. This is where the illustration is going to fall apart badly. But here was the sign. It was there. And I'm flying, enjoying the broad road of 435. And there is a narrow way. Don't miss the sign. Don't miss the sign. Jesus gives us a choice of roads. Stay on the easy or choose the hard road. A choice of companions. Keep going with the crowd or choose to travel with the few. And a choice of destinies. The road you're on leads to death. Choose life. I remember an old pastor that used to say, there's three types of people in the world. Those that can count and those that can't. It'll sink in for a few of you. The Bible makes it abundantly clear from the beginning to the end that there's only two types of people. There are His children and those who are not. Those who are in the kingdom, those who are left out. Those who have been taken into the light, those who remain in the darkness. Those who have been given life, those who remain dead. There's only two types of people in this world. Those that have been saved, regenerated by the grace of God, or those who remain in their sin. You're either one of His people or you're not. You either have already embraced Him by faith or you have not. Are you in the kingdom? Or are you still walking in the easy road? Jesus does not give any other alternatives. His words to us are a warning that we be careful that our hearts do not pull us along in following the wrong crowd. There are many who are comfortably walking down the easy road and are happy to have you join them and stay with them. But it leads to destruction. But make no mistake, His words are also warnings to us who already believe. Consider the gate into His kingdom. And He said, I am the gate. The only way to the Father is through me, through His saving work. Think carefully about the gate, the road that leads to life. And if you've enjoyed walking in the ways that lead to life, stay on the path. Stay out of the ditch. You'll never lose your way from the path eternally. But oh, how easily, just as we sang in the beginning of the service, how easily we are prone to wander into the ditch. Heed the warnings of Christ as a believer. Examine your walk. If you have not embraced Christ as your Savior, here obviously is an urgent plea. Receive Him before it's too late. Don't miss the sign. Who knows the number of signs you will receive in your lifetime, but you're receiving one today. Don't neglect it. You don't know how many days you have. I don't know how many days I have. I don't know how many days I'm going to be able to tell you again. Don't miss the sign. This may be my last opportunity. Nobody knows. May God regenerate our hearts and enable us to choose life. Let's pray.